that when did we first hear or see God? It was in the cry of a baby, wasn't it? In a manger. God came to earth and a baby cried, and our lives have been transformed because of that. And so I want to say to you parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and grandmas and great-grandmas, thank you for bringing your children here. Thank you for giving us the chance to love them. You know, I think today, Joe singing today. And if I'm reminded, Joe was raised in the church. And yeah, he kind of got away. But this week, he was up singing here. Probably because a church invested in him and loved him. And one day, he found his way back to here. So thank you. Our children are a gift from God to us. Yeah, this is not a pure service. Yes, it's not whitewashed and all of that. But I don't think it was when Jesus came either. And the world was a messy place. And so thank you. Thanks for bringing your children, your grandchildren. They are a gift from God to us. I have to tell you that I am more blessed in church when one of your children walk up to me and tell me they love me and give me a hug. So great. So thank you again. Well, the theme for this week is joy. And as you know, we were kind of behind on the Advent theme because of our Christmas concert. But the theme for this week is joy. You know, it's interesting that we are reading a text today that Nick already read that speaks of John the Baptist calling his followers children of snakes. He calls them a brood of vipers. And so it would seem that this would be an odd place for us to talk about joy. You know, because when we think of joy, we really think of rose-tinted glasses. We think of happiness. We think of those warm, fuzzy feelings. But if we're honest, joy goes much deeper. It goes beyond the momentary feelings of happiness. It is deeply rooted, hear this, it is deeply rooted in our sense of identity. Joy is rooted in our deep-seated sense of identity. And so let me suggest to you that joy can only be found. Yes, you'll have happiness because happiness circumstances change. But if you want to truly find joy, if you truly want to know joy, you must know who you are in Christ. You must understand His great love for you and what He thinks about you. Last week, as we looked at Luke chapter 3 and talked about how it connects with peace in our lives and the world, this is an important place to start because much in the same way that hope, peace, and joy go together on our Advent wreath, they are also linked together in our lives. The themes of joy, peace, and hope go together. And so this morning, as we look at joy, we're going to see that joy begins with repentance, joy leads to generosity, and joy ends with Jesus. So joy begins with repentance. We see from John his harsh words, his harsh calling out, his confronting the people to repent. Now, when we think of repentance, we often think of repentance saying, well, I'm sorry. But I'll tell you that the Greek word for repentance means so much more than that. It really means seeing things in a new way. It really is a complete reorientation and transformation of our lives. You see, John here in our text is criticizing the way that the people, his followers, those who are gathered around him that day, have depended on their heritage to save them. They cry out about being the children of Abraham, as though their ancestry will save them because they are God's chosen people. But John is telling them that God has called his people, and we need to hear this, that God has called his people to something more. The fruit they are producing, is what he's telling them, is not in keeping with the children of God, not in keeping with what children of God would produce. You see, the children of God produce the fruit of justice and compassion. You see, what he's really saying to us, if our lives are really about us and about what we want and about our own world, then really we need to rethink where we are in Christ. We see this clearly in verses 11 through 14. It says to us, John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." In our text, it tells us that the trees that are not producing good fruit will be cut down. Hear that, though, because this is a warning. Because not only was John speaking to the people that were gathered around him, he's speaking to us today. He's saying that if our lives are not producing good fruit, then our lives will be cut down. If our lives are not in keeping with the character of Christ, then our lives will be cut down. You see, this really strips away all of the easy believism of Christianity, doesn't it? It really says to us that if we say that we are Christians, then the lives that we have been given ought to show forth that. And it ought to show forth more than just coming to church. It ought to show forth in the ways in which we treat people, the ways in which we love people, the ways that we live in non-selfish ways towards people. You see, there is a transformation that takes place in the lives of those who follow God. If your lives have not been changed, let me just say to you that really all of that you're doing is following religion. All you're doing is following the creeds, maybe, of the Church of the Nazarene. If your life has not been transformed and changed, if your life does not look different than the world in which you live in, I would ask you to stop and think and check your heart. The call to repentance also points to the new family being created by Jesus through the church. One that is not based upon gender. Aren't you grateful for that? That's not based upon race. That's not based upon background, but on repentance and a life following after him. That is the great truth of the gospel. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic background. It doesn't matter any of those things. And in fact, let me just say to you, it really gripes me when some people make women second-class citizens. It really gripes me when we think that just because we're men that we're higher and that we're better off than somebody else. The gospel has come to destroy that. The gospel has come to bring equality to all men and women. This family is created through baptism, not through the old covenant ways of circumcision and heritage. And what's that saying to us? What was circumcision? Circumcision was supposed to be an outward act that took place in the heart. But for many of the Jewish people, it just became an outward act. It just became one more thing that they added onto their list. Just one more thing that they did so that why? So that they could feel self-righteous. So that they could feel good about themselves. You see, here in Luke 3, we see a contrast between the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of God. But also, it is about a new family being formed and forged. Let's go on. Joy also leads to generosity. In verse 11, generosity is the key component to this new life of following Christ. We see it here. We've read it once already. But it says, whoever has two shirts must share with the one who has none. And whoever has food must do the same. We see in Matthew 25, Jesus preaching the same thing. How many of you know about the parable of the sheep and the goats? Do you remember the parable that Jesus taught? The sheep on one end, the goats on the other. And what does he say? My favorite line in all of that. He says that whatever you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. It was interesting that the sheep, as we look at the sheep asked him, well, when did we do that, Lord? When did we feed the hungry? When did we take care of the sick? When did we do those things? They didn't even know it. They couldn't remember it. Why? Tell me the last time you breathed. Do you remember it? Was it a key moment in your life? Did you think about it and mark it down on your calendars? No, it was natural, wasn't it? You just did it. It's part of who you are, right? And that's what Jesus is saying here. He said it in the parable of sheep and goats, and John is trying to say it to us here, that generosity is to be like breathing, that it's to be a natural way of life. You see, in this new life, those who have give to those who don't. This is part of the reorientation process through repentance, where the focus seems to have been on how to save themselves, but now they are focused on the well-being of others. How many of you care if people go to hell? Really? How many of us have talked to somebody about Jesus this week? Good. Praise God. See, that really shows we care, doesn't it? If we're willing to tell others about what Christ means to us. You don't have to beat them over the head. You don't have to pull out your Bible. You don't have to know verse in Scripture. Just love them. Just help them to see Jesus in your life. In verse 13, we read, collect no more than you authorize to collect. You see, greed has no place in this new life. Tax collectors were notorious for taking more than they were supposed to and doing what? Pocketing the excess. Coveting and taking from others is not part of this new life in Christ. There's another important reorientation as well here in our text. Tax collectors, you know what they were? They were hated. They were despised. But we see in this text, those who are despised, those who are hated, those who are seen as traitors were welcomed into this new life. And isn't it interesting in this text, we never hear John the Baptist say, stop being a tax collector? Maybe the important thing is not what they do, but who they are. You see, they are called to the same standards of repentance and new life and to live in a new way in the occupation that God has called them. And that's God's calling for us as well, to live a new way in the places that God has called you. And it's important, my friends, because are there any places that are off limits to Jesus? No? Leslie works at a place that has wonderful food because she heads the kitchen up there. But it's a bar restaurant. And I trust and believe that she's making a difference. But should we, because it's a bar, say nope? Don't go there. And again, I'm not saying you should go there to drink, okay? So please hear that. But is there a place that's off limits? Because if that bar is off limits, then what about places that are less desirable in our communities? What about the places where people don't go to? And do we segregate and set aside people because they live? Or maybe because they're doing things that are not pleasant. Drew, thank you for your testimony today. Did you give up on Ann? No, he didn't. She wasn't untouchable. She wasn't dirty. Right? So why do we, or do we? Look at verse 14 again. It says, don't cheat or harass anyone, and be satisfied with your pay. And so this call here in our text is a call to be kind and to be content. The soldiers, we know, they were part of the Roman military empire. They were the ones with power. They could harass and cheat people without repercussions. Nobody would stop them. They had all of the might. They had all the power of the world. They could do what they want. But John called them to something different. These soldiers are called to be content with their financial standings, which really tells us that's our call to us as well. Let me just say to you, if you're so focused on your finances, what aren't you focused on? Not focused on Jesus, are you? Not focused on being who Jesus wants. Finances become your God. You see, we started in our text with be generous, followed by don't be greedy, and now we're ending with contentment. The expectation is that the life that is transformed, a life that bears good fruit, is one of contentment. It's one of generosity. It's one of kindness. It's one of compassion. It's one of being people of justice. You know, when we look at studies that talk about happiness, one of the common themes of people who are happy are those who are content and generous. See, this is not just confined to what John the Baptist said, but also can be seen in the lives of people today. When we live transformed lives that bear good fruit, one of the consequences, one of the results, is joy. We receive joy when we help others. When we aren't constantly desiring more, and when we have compassion on others. We hear the language of bearing good fruit when Paul talks about it in Galatians chapter 5. What does he say the fruit of the Spirit is? What? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, those lives that are transformed by the Spirit bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's who we are to be. You want to know what a Christian like? Look at the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're called to be. Let's go on. Joy ends with Jesus. The people begin to look with expectation that John might be the Messiah because his words were transformative. They were different. He was calling the people out. He called them to something more, something greater than they'd ever known before. But John pointed them true to the true Messiah, telling them that he was only the one preparing the way. He used the image of baptism to explain that. While they may have felt transformed and empowered by the water, the one who's coming would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and fire. John used the imagery of the Old Testament in referring to the day of the Lord to talk about when Jesus would bring the kingdom of God crashing into earth in powerful ways. The last words of our text say, with many other words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. The ultimate good news was Jesus coming. Jesus would bring a new order of things. Jesus would show them how to be generous. Jesus would show them how to be compassionate. Jesus would show them how to be content. Come on, my friends, let's think about that for a second. When you are owed something, what's that do to you? When you think somebody owes you, how do you feel? If somebody owes you money and they don't pay you, how do you feel? Yeah. If somebody owes you an apology, how do you feel? When somebody owes you respect, how do you feel? But we see Jesus, God in the flesh, come down to our world. And does he expect any of those things? Does he get angry when people treat him wrong? When they don't give him the respect? Come on, this was the Son of God. This isn't some Yahoo born in some way out of the way place. This is Jesus. But he's content. You see, Jesus would show them how to give up their greed and act justly towards others. See, John was only preparing the way. The real, living, breathing God was Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, who would come into our world. And so today, as we conclude our message, you and I live in the not yet, already kingdom of God. We know that Christ has come. We know that God put on flesh and came to be among us, ushering into us a new way of life, a new family, a new kingdom. And yet, let's be honest, we see brokenness all around us. We walk into weeks probably like the one you just walked into, and we wonder, where is joy? We wonder if joy is even available to us. It's hard to have joy in the midst of despair. It's hard to have joy in this in-between time, this time of preparation. But during Advent, we pray, we ask God to draw close to us. The good news of Christ is that we can have joy even now. Joy isn't merely a feeling brought about by circumstances. It is a deep and abiding state brought about on our connection with Christ. Joy is not passive. It is lived out through the ways that our lives continue to be transformed to be more like Jesus. But let me ask you today, is that the heart, is that your desire to continue to be transformed like Jesus? Is that what you desire? Because that's his desire for you. When we lay aside our discontent, we become more like Jesus. When we share with others, and when we find ways to seek justice and compassion in our world, then we find these moments of joy that we can't but help share with our world. And then we can declare joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. In heaven and nature sing. Because Christ has brought joy into this kingdom that is breaking through even now in and through us. And so let me challenge you today. We know these are challenging times. But can you imagine not being a Christian? Can you imagine living in this world that is dark? And in all honesty, there is no hope. And any hope that is had is based upon what happens in our world. We have hope in jobs that disappear. Hopes in economy that goes up and down. But could it be that what God is saying to all of us today, that He desires that we would be and that we would represent hope into our world, or that we would be His vehicle of joy to people? And could we take up the challenge this week as we speak, as we live, as we move and breathe, that we would seek to be joy givers instead of joy suckers? Would we choose to strive to help people to see the difference that Jesus can make in a life that is surrendered to Him? The world needs it. Because, my friends, in all honesty, we know Christmas is going to be over with. And those who are trapped in materialism, happiness will be sucked away and lives will continue to be miserable. For I know the only true joy in life is found in Him. Would you stand with me, please? Jesus, this morning we come before You. And Lord, if we're honest, there have been times that we've all been trapped in our own little worlds. There have been times that we've only looked at our circumstances, only looked at where we're at, maybe only looked at our finances, our troubles, our difficulties. And we've not looked to You and realized that as Your children, we are a blessed, blessed people. Lord, help us as we live out the lives that You've given us this week to be people of joy. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that has not experienced that transformation in their hearts, I pray that they would reach out to You, Lord Jesus, that they would call upon You, and that they might find the One who says that I have come to give them life and life to the full. Please, Father, move upon us now. Speak to each one of our hearts. Guide us and direct us towards Jesus. Father, thanks for this wonderful time we've had today. The blessing of being together. Thank You for the privilege of sharing life with these. We are so blessed, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. I love you.